Be seated, please. Of all the saints, he is perhaps the most popular and admired, but probably the least imitated. Few have attained to his total identification with the poverty and suffering of Christ. That is a direct quotation from our church's volume entitled Lesser Feasts and Fasts. I've omitted only the name. If you haven't guessed who it is yet, I'll give you another hint from that same volume. He left few writings, but of those, his spirit of joyous faith comes through most truly in the Canticle of the Sun. The version in the hymnal begins, "Most high, omnipotent, good Lord, to thee be ceaseless praise outpoured, and blessing without measure. Let creatures all give thanks to thee and serve in great humility." Well, you've got it now, haven't you? Francis of Assisi, friar and deacon, born in 1182, died in 1226, made a saint in 1228. We celebrated his feast day on October 4th with a blessing of animals, as we have often done, though for the first time online this year. It was interesting. We did that along with thousands of parish churches across the globe of all kinds of denominational stripes. Why this association of animals with Francis? Well, according to numerous sources, on occasion he preached to birds, mainly giving thanks to God for them and the way God clothes them. In other words, giving thanks for God's many gifts to all of us. It certainly seems in keeping with his gentle nature and his own words in the Canticle of the Sun, referring to brother, son, and sister moon, sister water, brother fire, mother earth, and sister death. And of course, those closing words, "Let creatures all give thanks to thee and serve in great humility." So Francis' conviction that we are all one went beyond all living, breathing creatures, as we think of them, and ourselves, and extended to the elements and elemental forces themselves. This sense of being one with God's creation moved Francis to legendary acts of love and generosity. There are a number of those, but one of the most memorable is his embracing, despite his disgust, embracing and kissing the hand of a leper. Another scene in which he renounced the wealth he had inherited from his father, a wealthy cloth merchant, even to the point of stripping himself naked and giving his clothes to the poor. And of course, he founded, it's a little dubious wording to say that he founded, he allowed to be founded around him a holy order for men, and through his sister, one for women, Claire. Their original rule, and those monastic rules get to be very complicated. Their rule was follow the gospel, trusting in God and sharing the good news were his aims. All of this he accomplished not in some tight-lipped, stern, dutiful way, but with a joyful heart, even through the horrible emotional and physical sufferings of his last years, blind, bearing the signs of the cross, the stigmata in his own flesh. Earlier, his own order had outgrown him, and come to be something that reminded him of the military he had served in earlier in his life, and he didn't want that for the church. So he renounced any role of leadership and became a brother among brothers again. You might be thinking, well, but today we're celebrating all the saints, not just this one who lived and died 900 years ago. And you're right. As the hymn has it, one of my favorites, there are hundreds of thousands still. Francis chose me for this sermon, is what it felt like, rather than the other way around. That phrase, of all the saints, the most admired and least imitated, kept echoing in my brain as I started thinking about All Saints this year. Francis certainly exemplifies sainthood, meaning that he is someone through whom the light of Christ and the love of God have continued to shine. Lazarus is another of those conduits of divine light and love. He lived as long before Francis as Francis lived before us. His is a far different story, insofar as we know his story at all. Lazarus was a brother to Mary and Martha and a dear friend of Jesus. That's about it in terms of what we know. We are told nothing that he might have done to deserve being raised from the dead. This is not a story about the saintly life of Lazarus, the man. It is a story of God's indiscriminate love for everyone, a love more powerful than death. And that places Lazarus firmly in the epic story of the saints. For with or without colorful stories and adventures, the lives of the saints are more about God than about the saints themselves. Lazarus and Francis and people you and I have known are all saints of God. In some, that divine light shines more brightly than in others, and we can see their participation in their holy lives of service to God and their neighbor. Others have been put to good use by God, often by ways they themselves do not understand, sometimes despite themselves. Lazarus was the instrument of God's stunning love and power over death without his having done anything remarkable that we know of. In the person of Jesus, God made that love manifest in Lazarus in a unique way. Francis evidently knew about and was awakened by the light of Christ and felt an urgency to make the good news of God's love known to others. His calling was to help others become aware of the same and to spread that light throughout the world in every way possible. May we open ourselves as part of the body of Christ, the communion of all the saints, those that have ever been, those that are now, those that are yet to come, to the ways in which God may use us and allow ourselves to become instruments of God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.